Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. This is episode number 4 of the podcast, featuring David Womsley, who shares new ways of working with website clients. Let's hear in.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm very good, Davinder. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. So should I call you David the Beaver or David the Traveler?
Oh, yes, either. I'm happy with either of those.
Yeah, because you've been trumping both the world's beaver builder and the traveling world. I think you are the only true digital nomad I know in the online world that travels from one country to another. And I have to check, like, which country are you in now so that I can message you according to the time zone.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't actually think of myself too much as a digital nomad because I do spend a lot of time, Davinder, in your country.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, I go through my little stints, maybe sort of 4 to 6 months a year. We'll be moving around, you know, a lot. And then we spend a lot of time in Goa in India.
So how did your traveling journey started? Like, do you want to give some small introduction, like what you've been doing before getting into the online world? And how did your journey in the online world started? And then you went traveling around the world.
Shall I give my brief story then? So, yes. So me, as you mentioned before, I'm probably known to, maybe you'll have one visitor who might know me through doing Beaver Builder YouTube videos and also the, WP Builds podcast with Nathan Wrigley.
Yeah.
You know, before that, I mean, for most of my life, and I'm in my 50s now, I was a civil servant. And I started playing around with WordPress way back in, I think, 2007. I started doing some websites for friends and family in 2006. And yeah, it was just a hobby. I used it for my work. I was a remote worker and I had a staff team. And I used WordPress to create our own little intranet. And, you know, it's a proxy little thing, but the whole organization copied it later because it was very useful. And I did that and I made that led me on to doing an e-commerce site. But up until about 2012, I was quite happy in my job, and this was just a little hobby. And we just decided to go traveling. We decided, as I was coming up to my 50s, I thought, I can't see myself doing this for the next 15 to 20 years, doing the job that I'm doing. It's time to shake things up a bit. So I decided to quit my job with no idea, apart from the fact that my wife was Indian, and we knew that, well, we could go to India and live relatively cheap and decide what we're going to do with ourselves for a while. So I did that and it just happened. A friend knew that I was doing WordPress and asked me about it. And this led on to me doing a job for them. And since then, that's what I've been doing. I've been kind of traveling around the world, mostly doing jobs for her because she was she'd been running a web design business since 2000. So she had lots of jobs and she had lots of clients as well, luckily, who needed converting from HTML to WordPress. So that's it. That's my story.
So do you work with like specific agencies or do you have like direct clients for your website work?
Well, it's mainly, I've been lucky. It's been down to my good friend Maria back from school and what she did. I mean, the first job I got was she's had a web agency from 2000, but she was actually, her background is marketing before that. And she was still doing some marketing work for an international games company. And that was the first job I got because she was doing some work for them and they had their international site had gone down on WordPress. So my first job was a bigger job in thousands of pounds, where most of the jobs that came later for her was hundreds of pounds. So I'm the only person I know that keeps going downwards in how much a website costs. So that was kind of, and really it's been all of her work changing her clients, plus a few of my, I guess, recommendations from friends and family. And now I get the odd inquiry because of these YouTube videos I do. you know, so people ask me.
And you mentioned the downward, you know, going in terms of dollar figure, but you know what? Keeping small is more profitable, and not just for your bank account, also for your head, you know, your head remains in the right place because you don't have to put that much brain power, because a big project can be a big drain on your brain. Mm. So when you build websites, like, do you offer a whole package, like you design, develop, implement, build the site like a client wants, or you just do the development part and someone else does the design? How does it work?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because, you know, I feel like a lot of people, I guess, feel like this, like we're bluffing our way through this, because, you know, there's no, you know, literally I'm just a WordPress enthusiast who picked up stuff. So, you know, I learned the basic skills, you know, with HTML and CSS. I'm okay with those. I understand.
I end up calling myself as implementer, because that's, you know, includes everything. Because if I put myself as like a web designer, obviously I'm pretty good at Photoshop, but then if you compare it with a pure designer who would not know anything about code, you know, obviously I will dwarf in front of that person. So I guess implementer, constructor, builder, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly me. Yeah, an implementer with a reasonable eye for aesthetics and an understanding of, I think what's quite important is understanding the things that convert visitors and also how to get a little bit of traffic in as well. And I think, you know, these jack of all trades skills are quite useful for the people I would work with. But yeah, I do a bit of all of that.
Hmm. Okay. And how do you price your website work? Is it like per hour, fixed weekly hours, or per project or per task? Because you work with agencies. Even I work with a lot of agencies, and you know, the pricing when you work with an agency is obviously little less as compared to when you work with a direct client. So how do you figure out the project pricing?
Yeah, well, mostly because it's been a friend that I'm working with, even though it's kind of her agency. She's very small and it's a long-term thing. So often when she gets work in, she's quoting them based on, actually, mostly she's thinking of hours herself and how long this person's going to take. Mm-hmm. And then she says, you know, largely she'll come to me, what do I want as my cut from it, you know, to do my bit? Because most of the time, not always, she did the design of it and I just basically made the WordPress stuff work from her design. So I would estimate it in hours, you know, which is what, again, most people would probably advise for your business doing. But in some ways that is still the case. But I mean, I'm changing now because I'm trying to develop my own business. But again, still, yeah, I would still say fundamentally it comes down to working out hours.
Okay. So that's kind of different from what I do. I basically deal with per project estimate, because mm-hmm. I'm the one who does whole project, like from start to finish, design development. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to quote per hour, because you know how much work you're going to do, how much time it will take.
And yes.
So all the work that you do, like you've developed all the websites, is that like white label thing for you? Like you can't show that work in your portfolio, like on your website, that I did this?
Well, technically no reason, as most of the jobs, but as I say, most of them, when you show a portfolio, most people are looking at the designs on them, like they, unless you really explain what you did on it, which
exactly
isn't. So I don't get to use them. And then also as well, with particularly recently with us using page builders, we've encouraged clients to do what they like with their sites, and the sites aren't the same sites we built. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, I don't have much of a portfolio, because I would be slightly ashamed.
Nothing to be shameful, because sadly I am in the same boat. You know, I have built like so many websites, but I don't have anything to show off in portfolio. Why? Because mm-hmm. First it's white label. Secondly, there are agencies who do not mind doing like me showing it, but I seriously don't even have time, because there's always work to be done. So like showing in a portfolio doesn't make sense in investing time, at least at this stage of what I'm doing. I'm sure the same is for you.
Yeah, Devinder, well, you're one of the people whose design skills I admire, because you do very simple sites with such very nice touches that they stand out. So
I'm just an implementer. I'm just an implementer, remember?
With a very good eye.
Yes. Yeah, I've got glasses, right? Okay,
but now yes.
Yeah, continue.
No, carry on.
Okay, so a lot of people know you from your website, davidwimsley.com, and because you make a lot of how-to videos, and not many people know about your other website, which is WP Corner Shop. So how are you managing? Because it's been a constant struggle for me as well. Like, which face do I want to show to the world? Like, which brand do I want to show? Is it like the personal brand? Like in your case, your name, in case my name, or the generic brand? Like you have WP Corner Shop. I have a few others. Like, I don't even mind. I didn't even bother sharing about it because I'm always in this confusion zone. Which brand should I put forward to offer my services? So what are you doing with these two websites?
Well, I'm just making the internet very messy with my brands all over the place. You told me off about this one, actually, and you're quite right, because I do the David Wormsley, which is a site that needs to be redesigned, because I thought, oh, I'll blog from this, really needs updating. Then I switched, opened something called Beaver Junction for all the Beaver Builder content.
And then I forgot that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so there's all that kind of mess because they've got a load of sites. So none of it's pulled together. I'm trying to pull it. I promise by the end of this year, I should pull it together just for you, Davinder, alone. But the WP Corner Shop is the project that I've been working on. So can I just backtrack a little bit on that? Because I've been working as a freelancer doing this work for my friend. She's going to be closing her business soon. So she's decided to quit. In fact, well, now she's just done it. She's, you know, announced it and she's sending people directly to me. But I've wanted to solve problems with it. I've wanted to have a more productized service. So WP Corner Shop is a site that's not fully built that's out there. I think it's not even supposed to be in search at the moment. I think I've turned the robots off. I could be wrong on that. Might have changed. But in some ways it's been there because I've been collecting people on that site for my care plans. So that's one product that's been there for a couple of years. So people sign up to our care plans through that. But it's growing, yes, and it's kind of productized service.
Okay, so that'll
be the thing. Yeah, it'll be the thing I'll talk about a lot more as time goes on. But at the moment, I'm too embarrassed by what it looks like and the fact that it's not ready.
You are talking about the mess of your brand websites. You've not seen the mess that I've created so far. So I'm actually, this is my actually promise to myself, you know, I'm trying to organize this year, like have a brand, have a focus, have just few brands and focus on it. So let's see how it goes. Coming to your friend, now she's quitting the design development thing. Any specific reasons why she's doing it? Like,
She's always had trouble. She's not the kind of person who likes to keep up with technology anyway. So in a way, when I hooked up with her, 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, when we started doing the work together, it kind of rebooted her career because she would have been stuck really doing Dreamweaver and she wasn't really into the design, so the technical side of things. She was more marketing for everybody and did lots of other things. So she did print. And I think she's just felt as things, and I feel this as well, I don't know about you, that technology is still speeding up at an ever-increasing rate.
Oh, yeah.
And I think actually that affects our whole industry and what we tell clients, which is why I'm moving in a different direction, because I think clients now, there's a bigger expectation by some of them to jump on board with page builders, and they're going to keep changing and their technology is changing. So that's mainly a reason. It's just going too fast and she doesn't want to learn that stuff and wants to do something different.
Yeah, technology is changing. New products are entering the market at the fastest pace, you know. Just look at like how many people want to kill poor beaver, you know. There's so much competition, like everyone is throwing lifetime. Okay, come on my platform. It's just about grabbing the pie, you know. They want you to come on your platform and then let's see, you either get surprised in a positive way or ta-ta, bye-bye. So coming back to your main or future main project, that is WP Corner Shop. Now you have an interesting, or should I say very different way of working with your website client via that website, which is by offering a book a day service. Now, this is kind of interesting. I've never seen this or anyone offering this. So what is this all about?
Yeah, well, in some ways, it's. I mean, there's nothing that inventive here because in some ways there's been the one-day website build idea out there for some time. And even before page builders, we had that. I saw people who were selling things one day you work with us and we'll give you a theme forest theme, you know, and off you go. And it was part training. So largely I felt with page builders, I wanted to move that direction. In all honesty, I've got a build day for one reason. It's not really a build day. It's when somebody books it, they can't book before leaving. There's always a sort of a gutter period, a time of a week before they can book me. So we've got a week to try and get that preparation with them. And if they're a type of person who wants, excuse me, I'm losing my ears, my headset just folded out. If they're the type of person who wants us to build it for us and have no interest in a design, then we will try and get a brief in that time and then build it during and up to that week. If they're the type of person who wants a little bit more training for their website build, we'll save some of that time for the day and I'll keep doing them videos backwards and forwards, showing them how they can change bits in their site. So they learn that. And that's been really quite popular. That's the way it's gone. But yeah, the build day isn't, I think the one thing that's different about my build day is that a lot of people do, that's their product. It's one day to build a website, where when somebody comes to us, I'm going to say, look, this is probably a 1, 2, 3, 4 day build, depending on what they say to me. So, and then I'll ask them to book them one at a time. So we have milestones in advance, so I get paid as well, so I don't have to chase.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. And I've been actually browsing your website for other details that you've been there offering for clients to browse. Now you have a price tag of around £300 a day, which is like $390 for a day. Mm-hmm. Now, if a client comes to you for a simple 5-page, look, simple is not simple, but still, you know, I'm using the word simple, simple 5-page brochure website. So how many days do you think it would need based on this very vague requirement of a client?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in a lot of cases, the reason it's that way is because there are a lot of people we worked for who are still the, I just want a website, how much is it going to cost me? And they're not going to spend too much money. And they could go to Wix or Squarespace. Now, they we'll be trying then, knowing their budgets and where they are, to say, okay, that's your price. One day we can build you that 5-page site. As long as you get your stuff together. At the end of the day, the big change in this is that we're saying you're buying our time. I know I can build you a fairly simple site in that way, but whether you will like it is another matter, you know, and that's going to be down to you. So that's the idea. But I will say, if it's somebody who's come in and you think that it's important for them, for their business, to spend a bit of time thinking about how that's going to look and what functionality is going to be in it, and they need to really think about their marketing plan for this site, I will encourage them to take another add-on product, which will be discovery period, maybe buy a couple of those periods so we can plan. So then, you know, there's no, I'm not trying to sort of force this into being a very sort of one day website product thing. I want it to accommodate people who have larger products so they can add on, and they can add on another session if they want to look at keywords. So it'll depend. It'll be that first conversation when I work out what their budget is, what they want. But on the whole, I think it's just better to say, look, it's this low price. We book a time. These are the time becomes important because they paid for it and they can't cancel it unless it's, you know, 14 days ahead of that time. So they paid the money and it focuses them. And sometimes just getting a minimal viable product out there for somebody is a good start. And hopefully we'll have that long-term relationship so they can develop that site over time.
Okay. So in a book a day, how many production hours does a day in book a day service include? Like, do you have any fixed hours that you tell to the client, I've been work on your project?
Yeah, I don't. And I try and avoid it because it's not just me. So I try and avoid, I do put myself at the center of it because it is around me. My wife does work for me, so she might be setting up sites and doing stuff as well. And she actually really runs the whole of the care plan. She keeps it up to date. So she's doing some work. She's pretty good on Beaver Builder now as well. So I try and avoid it because they don't know whose time. Mostly it's going to be me that they're going to be dealing with. So I think in my mind that I don't want it to go beyond 10 hours. So I'm paying myself basically £30 or nearly $40 an hour. But at the moment, I'm really on introductory prices. So what you're seeing as the 300 is likely to go up before I go proper live at the moment. As I say, the site I haven't drawn any attention to it on purpose, but I should imagine that daily rate will need to go up. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back from the day your build starts. Like, what is the preparation work that you do with the client before the D-day or the selected day for working on it? Like, how do you get the content? How do you get images? How do you get this? How do you scope the project together to build on the specific day?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question. And there isn't one way. The actual, you know, my key thing is making sure that they've got a deadline and that I'm paid in ahead of time to know their commitment. The rest of it can go any way possible. So I did a website for somebody and they, you know, I asked them all the general questions. I set them up on Asana beforehand. So we've got little sections to ask them basic questions and I can get my answers, ask them to bring me their content. Some of them don't. So on the day, I almost make it. They're even absent on the day. I make it. I make them some videos, how they can put their real content in and then leave them with it. And if they need to put more time. In other cases, it's been much better. I've just did one the other day with an author and I've worked with her before. And it was really good because she didn't until the day before do anything. But I put a basic design for hers together and she really liked it. She fed back a lot of the stuff. But just before the day started, she went in there and literally on the site itself, put in all of the content, all of the photos. So at least when it came to the day, I had a chance to sort of correct things and maybe some photo alignment wasn't right. So yeah, there isn't one way with this. Probably never will be, but that's an example, I guess.
And what happens during that selected day? Like, do you sit with the client in person if it's the local client, or you sit with a client on the video call? Because I get a lot of these requests. Hey, let's build a website on a video call. I learn how you're building. You know, it sounds easy, but it is very difficult because when you're doing, say, on a Zoom call, it's like things are so slow. And how you can build a website, you know, but a lot of people come with that request. And I unfortunately have to say no, because that's not technically feasible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had a kind of, you know, most of this is still finding its own route. I would say we've had 12 to 14, I'm not quite sure, people who have gone through this one day build. And some of that's been done because I changed my, the person who was giving me the work has adopted this for me. So she has sat beside people. She had somebody come all the way. She's in the Midlands in the UK, where I'm originally from. That's where our friendship started. And she had somebody travel sort of 3 hours from London to come and sit in her kitchen next to her to build this site. She said it was exhausting. But in fact, I think she did it twice. And in one example, it was so fantastic because this was a site. Now, it's not the best site in the world, but it was one that had a lot of Arts Council funding. Mm-hmm. And I thought when she said, we'll do this, I thought, oh, this is going to be a nightmare, because most of the time when you're charging people, it's not the making of the site. It's usually the fact that it has to go. There's so many different stakeholders involved.
Yeah.
This woman came, took charge of it, learned how to use the page builder in the day, disappeared with no money in it for us. I didn't even see the woman or talk to her. I just got her on the care plan. She went away and pretty much built the whole of the site and dealt with the Arts Council people herself. So all of that time that we could have wasted. So I'm going completely off at a tangent. But yes, we've had the sitting down, but not me. What I've done, what seems to work for me online, is I've had to change the concept, because I've told people I'll help them with the training and they expect this live thing. And I say, no, let's start. I'll build something very simple. You look at it, see what it's like. You can go in there and start adding content and mess around. Don't worry. I've got a save version. And then I will make videos. So this last one I did the other day, I made about 10 quick videos, but most of them were made on the day. So we were backwards and forwards. We had a little Skype chat about what we're trying to do. I made some videos, they requested some videos, and it got built, and it was quite handy. It wasn't live time, but it was close to it. Yeah.
And coming to the actual build process, I guess you follow the true spirit of implementer. You design and develop within the web browser. Like, because I used to make Photoshop mockups like 2 years back, but ever since I've started using Beaver Builder, I just make a full screen mockup, take a screenshot, send it to the client.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I think, the way it's going to go, because it saves time. You know what? I mean, I do think it's different. I mean, we did a not exactly a one-day build back then, but this person went on to do another one-day build. But their site was more complex, so it did need to have a lot of time spent before anything went into the browser just on the information architecture. And we had to effectively do some wireframing before we moved into any design on it. So I think there are occasions when I might go back to old school processes, but yeah, these days it's quicker for most people to be able to just jump in. Yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk about your website has been built. Now let's talk about the after build process. Like, when do you pitch the monthly maintenance or website care plans to people who use your Book Your Day service to get their website built?
First thing we ever talk about. So this is a mistake I made. We've made, you know, I would say I'm responsible for about, you know, or at least partly responsible for just over 100 websites out there. I only have a small proportion, a third of those on a care plan, because we never talked about this from the beginning. And when we try and sell it after that, you might need to do it, it's like an insurance scheme you're thrown at the end. So it's not a nice experience, I don't think, for the client, because they haven't really been warned of it. And it's kind of like it's like you go to the checkout and they said your extra warranty on that for a year or
surprise,
something.
Surprise, like, surprise package.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what we say now is, and this is really goes with the whole ethos of where I'm going and where I think the industry is going for people who just want regular websites who I'm dealing with. I think everything's speeding up. I think minimal viable product is what we try and get running when we build our own sites for profit. I'd like to offer that to clients, not a big build where they spend all the money. So the first conversation is ongoing costs. So I say, look, if you want to come with us, our plan is to put you on a plan and look after your site at a low cost. And this is an ongoing thing, and you'll want to change your site. And this is what it's going to cost you with us or without. And the without includes the cost of their licenses and the average of what their hosting is likely to be, and the fact that they'll have to do it themselves. And mostly they go for us. And also we throw in very nicely, we don't pitch anything at all. We just say, look, you know, if you want to go and self-manage, that's fine. You'll need to buy your licenses because we only work with this, and it'll cost you this, and there's the details. Mm-hmm. And also, can you please set up WordPress ready for us to start? And no one I know has gone, oh yeah, I'm a self-manager, I'll just set it up for you. No one's done it, so it's been 100% take up, yeah.
So ever since you've started pitching the maintenance plan before the project begins, or you start talking about the project, vis-a-vis when you did not pitch it before, like, how has been the conversion rate?
Yeah, that's it. 100% since it's the first conversation now. Now, to be honest, I haven't had many of those, because still a lot of those, even though I say it's only about 14 maximum that I've in the new system. Oh no, there must be more than that. We converted some people from before. You know, I've got something like 30 something, I think, websites that are clients along with my own, but at the moment, but obviously that's growing now as we take people on. But the change is, we just do that as the first thing, because one of the first things they ask is how much for websites. So we don't give them the build cost. We give them the what's your yearly costs, and with or without us. So the conversation is built into that.
So scare tactics work, like go install WordPress.
Yeah, but you know what? It wasn't, it's only just say, you know, this is, we just say how we do things. We say we work with this. So I only work with Beaver Builder and only work with WordPress. And if you don't like that thing, we're not a good fit, but that's what I do. Yeah.
Now let's talk about your pricing for care plans. Now I see they are on the lower side as of now. Like, is there a specific reason for this pricing that you have? And are these prices sustainable?
Well, I think they are. I mean, we've been doing, the care plan's been running for a couple of years, I guess, although it's only just over a year since we forced folks to have to come on our hosting as well. So you're absolutely right. It's very low compared to a lot of people that I know out there.
Because normally, if you see the care plans, they start from $99 per month. Correct. That's even, and most of them don't even include hosting in that $99 plan also.
Correct. Yes.
So do you include the hosting as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's in there as well. And there's a reason for it. The big difference is I don't promise any of my time with this. It's almost the same as everybody else's care plans out there. The big difference is almost everybody gives at least half an hour of time or an hour of time or something for those prices. There's no time with mine. And it was a tiny bit of market research, because I was going back on old clients and asking them to come on this plan. And I lost some people. There were some people who could have been with us, who we built some very quick sites for ages back, who've not been on our plan and wouldn't do. They wouldn't even come in at our mid-range, which is 300 a year. Because, you know, ultimately, I have to be honest about them. They didn't really need us. They might have been better off going to Wix or Weebly, because they really, their requirements were HTML site, really. So I even introduced the lower one, but the lower one doesn't allow you to use WordPress. You can't add and install any plugins other than the ones that I give you. So okay. You have to go at least on the 300. And then if they've got any larger use, I'd expect them to go on to the next one or something custom. But yeah, it's just because I take my time out of it. And in all honesty, most things are automated on it. So it's, I believe it's profitable. That's the reason I'm doing it. Mostly the business is not just to keep working for the hour, but is to build up this group of people that will support me.
Yeah, because I used to have few clients on maintenance like four or 5 years ago, but at that time managing clients was really difficult because there were not many tools to automate everything, and I got really, you know, fed up of all that, and I sent all clients to different places because it was more of a drag for me rather than, you know, getting money from it. It was like putting too much pressure. But now things are a little different. So what tools and services do you use to manage your clients on maintenance plan?
Yeah, well, my tools are the main thing. The main dashboard is MainWP. I've never tried ManageWP, so I don't know what's better, but I bought MainWP. It was fairly new out at the time. There was a very one-off cheap price for all of the extensions. Bargain. And I love it. It works perfectly fine. You know, it's very rare that we get a tiny little flaw with it. And it's, you know, so well worth its money. So that's no cost there. What else do we use? We have a lot of other services that are free. So I'm not a big AppSumo supporter, but I have bought a couple of gems. One of those being ShortPixel, which reduces all the sizes. That's put into all of our things.
Image optimization.
Yes, image optimization.
You said you're not a fan of AppSumo, but your best buddy, Nathan, he is the biggest fan of AppSumo.
Isn't he just? Yeah. No, there's some fabulous deals once in a while when you know how to look for them. And of course, all the rest of the stuff is intriguing as well.
Yeah, so. Even I bought recently a deal at AppSumo. I bought a Bookafile lifetime license, though I've not even used it once. So let's see what happens.
Oh, Devinda, you know what? You know, you mentioned that one and I went and flipping bought it, didn't I? Only realizing that I'd actually bought an earlier AppSumo and not used it, which was Book Like a Boss.
Book Like a Boss. So
yeah, classic. Yeah, that's what happens when you get into the AppSumo. You buy stuff you might never need. Yeah.
Okay, let's dive deep into the pricing thing because you are pricing at a lower end and then still making profit out of it because you know how much work it would be needed to manage client. But, you know, a lot of people talk about something called value pricing. So there's fixed / low pricing versus value pricing. Now, in our interaction before this call, you mentioned that the value pricing does not resonate with you. And before you answer this, let me tell you, I'm in the same boat, whether that boat is called Titanic or not, I don't know. But I know a lot of popular people in the online world teach and emphasize on the concept of value pricing. But when you're working on a lower end of website project, say less than $5,000 or $6,000, does value pricing has any value there?
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, in some ways, I might sound like I'm off on it. It's only, I think, at the moment in the kind of Facebook groups that you and I are in, I think there's a dominance because there are a couple of characters who, you know, I really hold in high esteem because they've challenged my thinking a lot. So people like Troy Dean, and he's got WP Elevation, that's very much on value pricing and the benefits of that, and Chris Lemmer as well. So I'm not against it. I mean, it's applying, isn't it, to our businesses, something that Apple do to their products and Starbucks do to their services. So I think it's a great model. It's just not the only model out there. And for me, because I'm older, and what I'm valuing about doing my own business is having my free travel time, I feel that I have to have more of a product service where I can open the gates at certain times and close them off when I like, but still have something on running And I don't want to have to pitch too hard to get that work, which I think you need to do. Here's the issue, I think, sorry, with value pricing, is that you can't really project value onto somebody else. You can't say, I'm worth something like you do. Otherwise, you're being a salesman and you're having to pitch it. They have to know it. And you may have to spend a lot of money to invest in getting people to believe that you're a value, as Apple have by making their products just that little bit better than everybody else, so they can charge a lot more just for that extra little bit of quality. And the same with Starbucks, invest some money to up their sense of quality. I couldn't do that for me. I just want to start. I've got people who, without doing anything, come to me saying, I want a website. How much is it going to cost me? They don't know anything, but I don't have to go and search for these people. They're just going to come for me. All I need to do is to just be better at saying, yeah, I can do that and convert that somebody into someone I will look after for the long term, who will continue to pay me. And I think that's my process on it. The value pricing hasn't, because in a way it doesn't suit me. It's kind of, you have to inflate yourself a little bit, don't you, to do value pricing.
Exactly. And it's the same thing for me. It hasn't worked for me. Maybe I should do WordPress elevation course. But you know what? It's not about just I've been a failure at it. It's just I just could not relate to this concept when you're dealing with clients, because I'm not going out and building 20K estimate websites or even 40K, because that's not my target audience. Because I've worked with agencies who take up that projects and they linger on for 6 months, because I don't want my project, or I've been associated with a project that lingers on for 6 months. I want a website done and dusted within like 2 or 3 weeks. So that's my comfort zone. I don't know, but maybe it's your comfort zone as well. And with Beaver Builder and other page builders, you know, churning out website has become so fast. Like, if I compare it with my Genesis days when I used to build everything like custom Genesis theme, I will install the sample theme and then customize and start doing the PHP, CSS, all manual, you know. It used to take a lot of time. Now, if I compare it that with the Beaver Builder stuff, it's like I save almost 60 to 70% of time, which is a huge amount of saving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you just hit the nail on the head. If I had to do a big, large, I mean, that is the WP Elevation kind of pitch, the 20K website. So I wouldn't be going on that course, because what they're trying to pitch doesn't resonate with me in a way. Now, I know the course is fabulous for just general business stuff. So, you know, in a way, the advertising doesn't reflect the true value of their course. But the thing says, you know, these big jobs. And it starts from a point of saying, I think it says on the adverts when they come out, that, yeah, I think it was $1,200 or something. And I was building sites, can you believe, all these years back for that cost. And I'm really stressed. And I just thought, what I took from this is, yeah, I can relate to the little bit of stress, but my stress isn't so much doing it for even half of that price. And I just think, I'm going to deal with what's wrong with that stress. Are we going to leave everybody having to go for the high end, big jobs or nothing, you know, hit the road if you're not in that, and let them all go to Wix, Weebly, Squarespace? Or are we going to pitch in there? And instead of, it's not a race to the bottom that I'm doing, it's a race upwards. WordPress comes with this stuff for free. You can click one button and create a site. You could do that with Wix for free. So I'm trying to, if you like, raise the price up from the expected zero so people can get a better deal for their business.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. I don't know. I'm never able to wrap my head around this value pricing thing, to be honest. And I instead of trying to understand this concept, I went my way. And I actually don't like interacting with direct clients too much. That's why I went with the agency, where I do have direct clients and on maintenance as well. But I prefer to work with agencies where I have to do the design and development, because that's my comfort zone. Not just my comfort zone, this is what I enjoy doing, it like designing, developing, and making clients should say, wow, this is awesome. So that feedback is what I'm looking for, to be honest.
Yeah, do you know what? I think, Devinder, a lot of the time you've got the perfect gig out there for a lot of people, because, you know, we're not all, I think, suited to run in a service industry.
Yep.
You know, we are people who have skills, and we're very solitary, and we learn our skills. So it doesn't make us the best communicators in the world.
Exactly.
And the best at being empathetic. So I'm the same. I'm a little bit introvert. So if I had the perfect job, it would kind of be working for an agency where they give me a job lot of work and I do that when I like, you know.
And you know the funny part, amount of effort and time that a 5K project would take is almost same as a 20K project will take. It's just the difference is how you are selling that value, how you are putting forward for, again, the communication part, like how you're pulling the contracts, like this, that. Okay, we'll not go in those details because both of us are not interested in this. So let's change the topic. Now, you mentioned that you want to explore more new ways of engaging clients during website build process, like live training courses baked with live training. Want to elaborate on these new radical David Woomsley style ways?
Yeah, I guess what I've been doing, I mean, you know, most of this is a thought exercise. So anyone listening to this, you know, ought to recognize that this is all largely untested stuff. But I've been thinking where I want to go with this and what I see that the clients that... Where, I mean, I had a wonderful day the other day working with this author on the job, and I thought this is fantastic. And the same with somebody else before who was on a one-day build. Both of these people are so keen to learn stuff themselves and be... They get so excited, not by the design so much, by the fact that they've got involved in doing this design and learning the tools with it. And I thought, well, you know what, I can relate with that because, you know, if WordPress hadn't been so easy, I wouldn't be even offering the service. So I understand this need to learn. So I want to improve on that in my service. And I think that's the way things are going. So shall I tell you my latest mad idea, which isn't in practice?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've been looking at the people who are doing turnkey solutions. So I bought WP Ultimo, which looks fabulous, which is a great bit of software, which is there to try and make your own, if you like, Wix, Weebly, or Squarespace. But I thought, well, I can't do that because I'm going to use Beaver Builder. Beaver Builder is going to change. I'm going to need to keep up to date with documentation. So I thought, not so keen on that. And then I thought, maybe I should do what other people who don't always want to work with clients do, which is what you do.
Is that multi-site? That WP?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it spins out sites as somebody goes in there. It's just a nice way of creating multi-sites. You know, you get a template, it creates the site for them automatically. And you can set lots of parameters on that plugin. So you can stop how much bandwidth someone uses, how many pages they create with it, and et cetera. So, yeah, there's that side. And then there's what you do as well, Devinder, which is make some courses as well. I'm sure you probably run into the issue that as soon as there's an update, you spend a lot of time creating a course, there's an update in the software.
I just closed the Astra course yesterday because it's outdated now. And I don't want anyone to buy that course because the Astra theme has changed a lot. So... that's a normal thing, you know, you got to update everything, whether it's course or a website.
Yeah. So I've taken what you guys have been doing and I've been thinking that, well, the big flaw is the updates with this. So what I'm going to do is use the good side so somebody can spin out. So I want to really do some courses that are live courses that will be available to just my clients and might even appeal to some people that fall into groups like the Beaver Builder group because they can be online. And again, I'm still working it out, but it would be something like a two-week course. I would run a couple of webinars. They would go in and get their free site spun out for them with some templates that would select through them. So we're all working to the same starting point. And I would show people over time, give them a little bit of one-to-one time, so a site audit on what they've done, have them in the same group where I make live videos, if you like, to answer people's questions. And that's my plan to try and throw this in. But there's a few technical issues to sort out before I get onto it. But yeah, so that's the direction I would like to go into.
No, it's an interesting idea because I think not only you will serve the direct clients, there will be also, you will also be serving other people who are like DIY type, who wants to learn things by looking at the real thing, like how do you actually build a website in terms
of,
so that's a good idea actually.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, it gets around the issue of stuff going out of date because you enroll people for set time, I give them my time, hopefully I fill up to a reasonable number and judge that correctly, but everything's live then, so I don't have to worry about it.
We all creatives have a lot of ideas. So is this idea coming in 2018 or 2019? Or I'm just saying very wrong years here.
No, I hope to do it fairly quick because I guess a lot of the stuff I need to do ties in with this, what I'm doing with clients anyway. So something you mentioned earlier about preparation work, something I promised myself to do forever. I've even wrote scripts for myself on this, is to record some videos that say how to prepare for a website and what things to think about, you know, in terms of trying to think about your value propositions, what aims you have for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of that I want to build into a package. So I guess I'm moving, like you, Devinder, in a way, to a lot of training with my business.
Yeah, I'm actually addicted to, you know, courses. I love making those videos and all that. So now I'm a little distracted with this new podcast thing, because I wanted to do this 2 years back before courses. So then the courses happened. So everything happens because they have to happen. So let's see how it goes. Yeah. Because this is not what I do. These are the things I don't do for money or something else. It's just these things give me satisfaction, to be honest. There are agencies, clients to make money. Money is never attention. So, you know, so.
Yeah. Do you know, we have this in common, you know, and I think, you know, when you say, when will this come? The one thing I don't do, and again, this is for me, age and the fact that I packed in a job, which, you know, was big organizations. So that's what steers me away from getting into some sort of system where I have meetings upon meetings. That's why I don't like big clients, because I've done all that kind of stuff before.
Yeah.
But also about the money and that, you know, it's like I will make these things as I want to make them, because as long as I'm just able to stay afloat and do the traveling we do,
exactly.
I've got to enjoy it like you do. I know you love what you do, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love it. And I think I'm blessed. There are not many people who get to do work which they love to do it and still mm-hmm. make money or make enough money that they need. So
mm-hmm. I exactly. think
God has been great, maybe value proposition. I don't know. So let's talk about David's toolbox. So what are your current 5 favorite tools that power your online business?
Oh gosh. Right. Well, I guess should I just go for the cliches? I mean, obviously WordPress, don't exist without it. Beaver Builder, again, really now the business is entirely reliable on the one page builder I settled on.
Yeah.
I think for my Claire plan, I have to say, because that's an essential part of keeping us afloat now, or it's growing, has to be Main WP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two more.
Do you know what, David? Two more. What else do I? Oh gosh, we can go on forever. Actually, you told me about this, and I should have looked at my little list of what I. There are all sorts of little tools which I rely on as well. Appeared In and Zoom, which we are talking on at the moment, is yeah. one of my tools that I must yeah. have.
It's my favorite. I also like Loom as well. Like Loom is also good. Use Loom.
Yep. Yep. And let me think about another tool. Sorry, I'm plucking these off the top of my head now. Cloud App. That's, yeah. again, anything similar to that, to be honest, because yeah. there are other things.
I think that's for yeah. taking screenshot, right?
Correct, yes. And I'll make my videos on it and I can save them endlessly. So when I've done my short videos for people, they can go and access them anytime and I'm not being charged on storing them.
Okay, so it's similar to yeah. Loom, right?
Yeah, exactly. Loom would be the equivalent of doing that. So tools like that, I think they're my favorite tools on business because they keep me in business. They're the essentials.
And what is your recommended web hosting service for super fast client websites?
Ooh, yeah, well, I've moved everything to, I use Cloudways, which is really convenient for a lot of our, but I'm using DigitalOcean and Vulture. I have to say Vulture correctly because I've been saying Vulture for a long time because that's how it reads, but Vulture with Cloudways. But I am a big fan of what I started off about. It's now been over 3 years now with DigitalOcean and ServerPilot. Mm-hmm. And what value that is. Amazing. They cut half their prices, you know, earlier in this year. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So I think they're fantastic because you can keep adding, increasing the power that you've got on those servers very easily. So yeah, love it.
Okay. I've stayed away from these kind of hostings, to be honest, primarily because I really don't want to spend time managing things. So SiteGround works for me. And if it's like a high paying client, go to WordPress engine. That's like no tension, nothing.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
works.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, but you know what, to make this hosting attractive,
Yeah.
I had to learn a bit. But you know what? Honestly, seriously, it's so easy to manage. I mean, maybe I've just been lucky, but really don't have any issues. So yeah, almost as easy as the ones.
Okay. Next question. I already know the answer, but I'll still ask you, like, what is your favorite page builder plugin? And are you blinded by the shine of new page builder plugins?
Well, Devinder, I think my favorite has to be Gutenberg, surely.
Oh man, you surprised me.
I am
and,
kidding.
And I bet you didn't make even one site with Gutenberg.
No, I have been using it a little bit though, just test sites, just so I know what's going on. It's getting quite interesting, but yeah, absolutely. Beaver Builder, love it. So reliable, nearly 4 years using it. And given that I'm trying to build my business on looking after client sites, I mean, the downside of Beaver Builder, what rubbish it is in some ways, with all those clients that we did, who I sent off with Beaver Builder, can you believe? Without the licenses, I shouldn't have done this. They're not coming back to me complaining about their sites being broken. So, yeah. So,
you should have used some other page builder so that every update the site breaks. And they
exactly. That's the business I should be in.
But there are two new page builder plugins. Like there's Oxygen, there's Breezy. Yeah. Like a lot of people, Oxygen is making news, but Breezy is making more news. But I guess with their lifetime option, a lot of people are grabbing it, but they are still early days. Like they don't have certain basic features still in the plugin, which should be there. Though they do have some out of the box ideas implemented. I like the background image thing where you can just move the cursor and position the background image. Like that's like very cool, you know?
Yeah, you know, well, there's lots of cool stuff with Breezy, isn't there? But I've really had to turn off to this because the reality is I need to offer a safe service to clients. And if I go and look at all this cool stuff, I'm not going to change easily until I know it's absolutely safe. And that's going to be, it was a gamble to go to Beaver Builder in the first place. I judged it by the guys and what I felt were their value, you know? And it were paid off, but, you know, I wouldn't dare go to these. But, yeah, cool work. I mean, you know, what choice now for somebody?
Because I get these questions asked a lot. Like, firstly, Beaver Builder does not have that many features compared to other page builders. Secondly, it's expensive. It's very expensive if you, like, put in, like, Themer into the mix. You end up paying a lot. And then people will say, like, it's very expensive as compared to, it offers very less features. But then, now, explaining this argument, you know, this is the most stable page builder. Every page builder update or WordPress update, if your 10 sites break and you spend 10 hours fixing it, vis-a-vis you don't spend even a minute fixing it, actually you are earning more money with it.
So preaching to the converted here for sure.
Yeah, it's like very difficult to explain this. So let's talk about email marketing service. Are you big into email marketing? If yes, like which service you use for that?
Yeah, well, yeah, you can just bypass me. All I've ever used is MailChimp. That's it. That's my level. Oh, well, I set up Mautic once because I thought I might do this. But in terms of my business, nearly all the clients are on MailChimp. And if they're on something bigger, it's because they've got somebody in their organization sorting that out. So I'm not involved in it. So I don't know anything. And for my own business, which is running on WooCommerce, there's an add-on for follow-up emails, which I'll be doing my email marketing via that, and also main WP as well for some of my emails going out. So yeah, I have no knowledge on this stuff.
Okay, so let's pause the technical part and discover the lighter side of David. So you are a true digital nomad, like I said in the beginning. So are you enjoying this country hopping plus laptop lifestyle? Or you're just done with it and you want to settle in one country?
Ah, good question. Well, we need to settle down because there is a problem, you know, with it that we go traveling and it means that it's very difficult. I haven't really pushed our new business. That's why it's taking so long to go, because the travel, we say, oh, we're not quite sure where we're going to be. We haven't booked our next onward journey. So there's always doubt. And sometimes we're worried about the our technical abilities to do work. So, but I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what I love. It's just making my life so light. It means that me and my wife really have a 7K bag plus our laptops with us. And that's our life. So we can survive where we like with that. And I think that's a huge weight off your life to know that you can just go around with the essentials. I love that element of it. Yeah.
So you've been to a lot of countries. I think you were in Europe, in Ukraine, like a few months back. So
yes.
How was it?
Yeah, Ukraine. Oh, it's become one of our favorite places, actually. Well, yeah, we think we might go back there for the summer. I don't think we'll be there for winter ever. That's my big plan, avoiding the winters.
So which is David's favorite country?
Well, you know, I mean, UK is where I'm from. So obviously, it's a big favorite. My wife is from India originally, and it's where I'm main basis, so they're popular. But I would have to say, and this is a cliche, I'm probably going to pick Thailand. We just love Thailand. It's such an easy place to live with such beautiful people and a great food and great internet and everything. So I'm going to put Thailand up there, but I mean, there is no real favorite, to be honest.
And lastly, what makes David happy in the online world? What's your happy spot?
Oh gosh. Well, I don't know. I live in a pure excitement all the time about, because I'm older now, you know, when I sort of remember not having computers. I still don't have a mobile phone. My wife has to carry one around with me. But I just think this is remarkable. I move around from country to country, booking things online, talking to you online, meeting friends, and, you know, actually meeting them in person later online, and being able to do this work. I mean, wow, it's just all of it. It's just fabulous. What an age to be living in.
It's like there's no boundaries. There's no country boundaries on the internet. Like you can reach to anyone anytime. Just make sure you know about the time zone. Don't want to disturb someone sleeping, right? David, it's been amazing. Thank you for all the information, for all the new radical ideas you are trying to implement and giving others those sniff of those ideas. Maybe someone would pick up and try to better you. So
yeah, I sure will.
Thank you very much for the time, for appearing on the show. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Yes. Thank you, Devinder. Thanks for inviting me. Loved it.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.